We're going to learn Daf Hey Masechtas Ksubas. We already did a few lines. We did the first line of Daf Hey, but let's go back because this is the beginning of the sugya. Let's go back to the last two lines on the bottom of Daf Dalid Amud Beis. The Gemara is quoting the Braisa that we had quoted earlier, and the last line of the Braisa was Omar Mar, the second to last line on the bottom. Benkachu Benkach Lo Yiva Lo Yiva Erev Shabbos Lo Yiva Motzei Shabbos. That was the statement that the Braisa said, that if the Chosan and Kala had not consummated the marriage yet by either Friday night or Motzei Shabbos, that cannot be their first time. They have to wait till Sunday. So now Sunday night. So Bishlam Ba Erev Shabbos Mishum Chaburo. So the Gemara just throws out there as an assumption that the obvious reason why you can't be the first time on a Friday night is because it's going to create a chabura, and we'll see later in the Gemara what the issue with that is, that a chabura is probably usher on Shabbos. But why can't their first time being together be on a Matzah Shabbos? There's no Hilchus Shabbos issue over there, right, at least not simply speaking. So, Amar Rav Zeira, and this takes us now to the top of Hayamid Aleph, Mishum Cheshboinus. So Rav Zeira's first answer is that we don't want them to be busy making Cheshboinus on Shabbos, because on Shabbos he's going to have to be busy. How many pieces of chicken am I going to need, and how many? So in other words, this has nothing to do with the Bia. This has to do with the fact that apparently there was some sort of custom, some minig, if you want to call it, after the first time that they live together, there he's going to make another su'uda. And now he has to make cheshbonus of how many people he needs to bring food for, and how many people, how many tables, how many chairs, and things like that. And he's going to be busy making the cheshbon for the su'uda afterwards. So that's the problem with Matzah Shabbos. However, it's a dabar dover, right? Again, machlokes rishonim over here, but Rashi learns that it's a dabar dover issue, that you shouldn't be talking about divrei chol on Shabbos.
Right.
And if you're going to be busy thinking about what my party's going to look like Matzah Shabbos,
right,
you're going to be thinking about it on Shabbos, and on Shabbos you shouldn't be thinking about these things.
Right.
That's Rav Zeira's teretz. Omer le Abayas, Abaya now asks Rav Zeira, v'cheshbonus shomitzvah miyasir, what's the problem? So you're saying that he's going to be thinking about this on Shabbos. Who cares? He's allowed to think about these type of things on Shabbos. Is it really also of Amar Rav Chis? Now the Gemara is going to list a number of things that we see that are permitted to be do on Shabbos. But the point of all of these things, the aggregate point of all of these things, is that to think about doing a mitzvah Matzah Shabbos is not problematic on Shabbos. It's not, that's not a chesaron to think about these things on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Chista v'Rav Hamnuna d'Amar Tabayo." Both Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna both say, "Cheshbayne shal mitzvah mutar l'chashbon b'Shabbos." So here we have it very straight out. It says to do something that for the sake of a mitzvah, you're allowed to think about these things on Shabbos. And the Gemara now is going to take it a little bit further once we're talking about this concept. V'amar Rav Elozer, "Poiskin tzedakah la'aniyim b'Shabbos." You're even allowed to go ahead and collect money for, or at least pledge money on Shabbos. That's what we do. We sell the aliyahs or whatever it is, that you're allowed to do these things, you're allowed to talk about these things, even though it's tzedakah, it's money, you're allowed to talk about those things on Shabbos, because it's for the sake of a mitzvah. V'amar Rav Yaakov, v'amar Rav Yochanan, we take it one step further. Holchin lebatei knesiyos lebatei midrashos. We even go publicly out to the shuls and the base medrash, the fakeach al iskei rabim, to discuss and disclose things, that issues that the rabim needs. This doesn't even have to be necessarily dangerous issue. It has to be things that have to be taken care of for the sake of rabim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Here we're talking about, now the Gemara is taking it to another level. Here the Gemara is saying that you could even take it to a public forum to discuss issues that have to do with the tzibur, and you're allowed to discuss these things on Shabbos. And one step further, v'amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi, amar Rav Yochanan. So now in the name of Rav Yochanan, we say mefakim pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos. We're certainly allowed to discuss, and we're certainly allowed to do things to deal with pikuach nefesh mamash on Shabbos itself. Again, so that's not so much related to our point, but once we're discussing the idea that you can do things on Shabbos, of course we're allowed to do pikuach nefesh issues on Shabbos. And now we can take it one step further. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonison. So we now quoting Rav Yonison, it says, "Hochen letartiyos ulekarkiyos." So this means that a simple reading is you're allowed to go to the theaters and the public places that the kings and the officers used to have, these public places or these big rooms that a lot of people fit into. So now we're not even talking about an abeis medrash now. Now we're talking about an agoyish, a public place. So you're allowed to go there, lefakeach aliskei rabim b'Shabbos, once again, to discuss and disclose and handle things that have to do with the tzibur on Shabbos. B'tana de b'Menashe, okay, and here back to our point over here, that you're allowed to discuss mitzvahs on Shabbos. In the yeshiva of Menashe, they taught us, Meshadchin al hatinoikis la'ores b'Shabbos. You're allowed to talk about shidduch issues on Shabbos to get the kids married off. Ba'alatino can on a boy lelamdo is safer to either to what yeshiva he should go to. We're allowed to discuss that on Shabbos. Ulelamdo umnis. And here we're even talking about, which is very a weekday topic. We're even allowed to talk about what profession, as Rashi points out, that the Gemara in Kedushin teaches us that a father has an obligation to make sure that his child has a parnosa, so that his child will be able to support himself and be able to learn with that support. So therefore, it is mutter for a father to discuss his son's parnosa on Shabbos. So all of this adds up to seeing that if it's relevant and it relates to a mitzvah, you're allowed to take care of that and you're allowed to discuss that on Shabbos. So if this seuda that you're going to make relates to a mitzvah of the mitzvahs would be pruravu, but the mitzvah of a chosan and kala being together, so that would be mutter on Shabbos. So what does Rav Zeira mean when he says, oh, we're worried about you're going to think about it on Shabbos? There's no problem thinking about this on Shabbos because it relates to a mitzvah. So Rav Zeira actually agrees with Abaya and says, you're right, that's not really the reason why Matzah Shabbos is a problem. Elo, Rav Zeira, Gezeira, Shema, Yishchot, Ben Oif. Now here we're talking about a more serious problem. Here we're talking about not just thinking about, you're actually going to do. You're going to take an action, and you're going to realize you're short on the food, and you're going to go ahead and you're going to shecht a bird. Some have a girsa of boy oif. In other words, instead of the word ben oif, they say boy oif, that you're going to shecht boy on Shabbos. You're going to actually shecht the bird. But the point is that you're going to be mamish doing an isser of shechita, which is taking nefesh. Taking a nefesh on Shabbos is usser. So that's the simple reading, the simple pshat. And therefore, that's mamish doing something usser on Shabbos. And we can't allow that to happen. So therefore, we don't want the first bia to be on a matzah Shabbos because he might end up shechting on Shabbos. So I'm going to lay a Rabbi says, so if every time you're doing something Matzah Shabbos, we're worried about what's going to happen on Shabbos. So Rabbi asks, if that's the case, if Yom Kippur comes out on a Monday, so that means Sunday is going to be the day where you're busy eating. It's Erev Yom Kippur, you got to eat a lot. We should really have to worry about that people are going to shecht for the sake of that food. Yidcha, we should push off Yom Kippur to Tuesday. What we mean by pushing off Yom Kippur, obviously, if the 10th of the month comes out on Monday, it's Yom Kippur. There's nothing you can do about it. But we could have Rosh Chodesh come out a day later. The same way we make sure that Yom Kippur never comes out on a Sunday or a Friday, we can make sure that Yom Kippur doesn't come out on the Monday, so that it always comes out at the earliest on a Tuesday. Why? Because Gezeira, what? Can't come out Tuesday either. That's for a different reason. That's for Hashanah Rabbah purposes. But anyway, the Gezeira Shema Yishchot Ben Oif, we should have the same Gezeira. If, again, your concern is that when somebody has to go ahead and prepare food right after Shabbos, that we're worried that that person is going to accidentally start preparing on Shabbos itself, so then we should never allow Sunday to be Erev Yom Kippur, because people are going to have to prepare food on Sunday. They may end up preparing early on Shabbos itself. So why don't we say that? And obviously we don't say that. We know that Yom Kippur could come out on a Monday. It happens all the time. So the Gemara answer is a very simple difference. The difference is Hosom Dilanafshe Loitarid. Here, when you're talking about Yom Kippur, he's doing it for his own sake. So for your own sake, you can deal with it. You have enough time. You'll deal with it Sunday. You'll see how much you need. Hocha Dilacherim Tarid. Over here by the chasano, it's not just what I'm going to eat. For myself, I'm not so worried about. I'm worried about what my mother-in-law is going to eat. I'm worried about what somebody else is going to eat. So then, all of a sudden, your tirda is going to make you do things that you shouldn't otherwise be doing. That's one simple teretz. Inami hosam islay ravcha. The other answer is very simple. There's a difference between literally Matzah Shabbos immediately after Shabbos versus Sunday, which is the next day. Hosam islay ravcha. On Yom Kippur, on a Sunday, you have plenty of time. I don't have to shecht it on Matzah Shabbos. I can deal with it Matzah Shabbos or Sunday. Hocha leslay ravcha. Over here, by the chasana, let's call it the chasana. Over here by the Suda's chasana, where you have to serve the food immediately after Shabbos, there is no time. So Mamela, you're going to end up doing it, the only time you have is on Shabbos, so you're going to end up doing things on Shabbos that you're not supposed to do. So those are the very distinct differences between serving food on a Matzah Shabbos versus for everybody else versus serving food for yourself on a Sunday. Those are the two. That's why it only applies to this case of making a Suda on Matzah Shabbos. Now the Gemara says something very interesting. Now that we say that the reason that you're not allowed to have the first bia on Matzah Shabbos is for food purposes, Erev Shabbos namik zereshem yishchet benoif. So Erev Shabbos also is the same problem. We can't allow it to happen Friday night because again there might be a suda Friday night that somebody's going to be worried about, and he's going to end up shechting on Shabbos itself, on Friday night itself, to prepare for the suda. So something very interesting to point out, that the Rashba points out that the Gemara is saying over here is that we no longer, remember when we started the Gemara now, we said that on Friday night the reason is because of Chabura. Now the Gemara is saying, no, Hashadah Zalachi, I can give, it's actually the same reason for both Matzah Shabbos and Friday night. The Friday night reason also is because you might end up shechting and preparing food on Shabbos itself. So the Rashba says two reasons why. One is because, first of all, it's better, because the Braisa puts Friday night and Matzah Shabbos together, it's better to give the same reason for both. So it's better if the same reason applies to both. The other reason is, actually, the Rashba says, because since La Halacha, Friday night is not because of Chabura, as we're going to see the Maskana of the Gemara on Daf Hema Beis, is that Chabura is really not a problem, depending on how you paskin. So if Chabura is not really a problem, so then the whole reason for Friday night is not an issue. So therefore, the Gemara actually would rather give a different reason, which is the Shema Yishchei Benoif, which does apply, even if Chabura doesn't apply. So what the Rashba is saying is that the Gemara is retracting from its original statement, and this is the new reason. Forget about the other reason. Forget about everything else we said till now. The new reason about the Chabura, exactly. The new reason is because we're afraid that they're going to try to serve food either on a Matzah Shabbos or on a Friday night, and it's the same reason for both Friday night and Matzah Shabbos. Iba Elohu. That Gemara, now back to the Gemara that we said before, that they get married on a Wednesday. So, the Gemara says like this. How specific, how detailed are we over here? Iba Elohu. Ibasula Nisus Berevi. Where she gets married on a Wednesday, let's say Wednesday afternoon, the Nivela Spiravi, and she can, and then the Chosin and Kala get together that same afternoon. The Loi Chashina LaKruya Daita, and we're not worried about the amount of that he's going to cool off. Meaning, because remember, the whole reason of getting married on a Wednesday is because Bezin's open on Thursday, the next day. So there's going to be a time. So we're not worried that between Wednesday afternoon to Thursday morning is too much time. We're not worried about that. And therefore, they could even be together even Wednesday afternoon. Dilma, no, Basula Nisus Biravi, maybe we meant they get married on a Wednesday. However, Vinavelas Bechamishi, we wait till Wednesday night, which is Thursday, to Chashina LaKruya Daita, because we're worried that by that time, there's too much time, they're going to cool off. So what is it really? When does the Bia happen? So Toshima. So the Gemara says, I'll bring you a ride. The Tani Bar Kafro, Bar Kaparo. The Sula Nisus Biravi says very clearly, they get married on a Wednesday. The Niveles Bechamishi, and they wait till that night, Thursday, to live together. Hoyol Venemra Boy Brocha Ledogim. Because the Parsha in Parsha's Bereshis says that's the first time that the fish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave a Brocha to the fish that they should multiply, Peru Revu. So therefore, we wait till the first time they're together to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Peru Revu, should be on a Wednesday night, which is Thursday, to get that mitzvah also. And similarly, to finish the braisa, Almana nisus bechamishi. So an Almana gets married on a Thursday, v'nevelas b'shishi, but she waits till Thursday night, which is Friday. Because that's on Friday, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the bracha to Adam, they should also have Puru Revu. Okay, so that's the braisa. Now the Gemara is medayik. Taimo mishum bracha. So the reason why we're waiting till Thursday night is only to get to chaper in the bracha. But we're not worried about the length of time. We're not worried that Wednesday afternoon till Thursday morning is too much time. Those extra couple of hours are not going to be the problem. So, if so, that there's obviously some important factor of waiting till Thursday night to get the bracha, why don't we say, right, hoyo b'nemer by bracha l'dogim. So, because there's obviously a very important bracha of dogim that we're waiting specifically till Thursday night or Wednesday night to get to capture that bracha. So the Almana also should be looking for that bracha. So the Gemara answers, yeah, but bracha the Adam Adifalei. We'd rather get the Almana has the advantage of waiting till Thursday night, which is Friday, which has a better bracha. They even have the bracha of Adam on a person itself, not just on fish. So therefore, they'd rather wait till Thursday night. That's one terence. The Nami Mishom Shaktu. The other reason why an Almana will also wait till at night, till that night, till Thursday night, is Mishom Shaktu, because Chazal were sensitive to the attitude towards the Chasan and Kala by an Almana. Now, Almana that we're discussing over here, just so that you know, is that both the husband and the wife had, the bride and the groom, have been previously married. So it's not a first for either of them. And therefore, the halacha is that they only need one day of Sheva Brachas. So, therefore, if they get married on a Thursday afternoon and they finish the chasan, that could be their day of Shavuot brachas. They don't have another day. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, why is it that we say even though they get married on a Thursday, we wait till Thursday night so they're together on Thursday night, which is Friday? Because if you allow them to do everything, you know, finish it up on Thursday, lemachar, the next day, the next day, the guy is going to get up and he's going to go back to work. Friday morning, he's going to already be back at work. So, shaktu chachamim al takanas b'nais Yisrael, chachamim were sensitive to what the brides need. Chazal understood that the kala needs that the groom should be there for 3 days. Chamishi b'Shabbos, this way, they have the chasana on Thursday. Be'er Shabbos, they'll be there together, as Rashi says, there's the chibas bia, so he'll stay with her the next day. He's not going to run out in the first second. The Shabbos, and then already Shabbos, he's not going to work anyway, so he's going to be there for the whole Shabbos. So that's because after the bia, when you wake up first thing, you're not going to run out first thing in the morning. If they just got together, Azoy is. I know. Now the Gemara asks, May Ika Ben Bracha L'Shaktu. So now we just gave two reasons why we dafka have them together Thursday night. One is because they want the Bracha of Adam, and the other is because we want them to spend 3 days together. So the Gemara says, and that's why it's purposely designed that the Chasana comes out Thursday for a Bia on Thursday night. So the Gemara says, Ika Benayu Adam Batal. The one difference between them will be a guy who doesn't go to work. If he anyway has no job, so he's not gonna run out. So for him it doesn't make a difference. If he's not interested in the Bracha, then he doesn't need to run out Thursday morning. He could, or whatever, Friday morning, he's not running anywhere anyway, so then they could be together already Thursday afternoon. Inami Yantav Shachal Yos Be'erev Shabbos. Or a very simple reason that would the whole thing doesn't apply is if already Thursday night, Friday morning is already Yantif. So Yantif and then Shabbos, so no one's going anywhere. So in that case, again, the way the Mefarshim explain is if you're not makbid on bracha, if you don't care about the getting specifically trying to get that bracha, let's say for example it's an older couple where, you know, they're 70 years old, and they're not looking for that bracha. So then they can be together already Thursday afternoon, because Friday morning they're not going anywhere, either because he doesn't work or because it is Yontif. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Once we quoted Bar Kafra before, that Bar Kafra was the one who was the Brisa before that tells us the whole idea of Bracha. So now we're going to bring a few drushes from Bar Kafra. Again, it really has nothing to do necessarily specifically with the Gemara we just did. It's just because it's the same Mandi Omer. Darish Bar Kafra. G'doy the Ma'as and Tzadikim, what Tzadikim do, of course, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, but the act that Tzadikim put together in this world, Yoyisim Yimayis HaShemayim Va'aretz, is more involved than when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created the world. Why do you live in Ma'as HaShemayim Va'aretz? When Hashem created the world, it's Ksiv, it says, Af Yodai Yosta Eretz, that my hand created, set the world. The Yemini Tabcha Shemayim, and my right hand touched the Shemayim, or set the Shemayim. So we see with one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the world, earth down, and put Shemayim down. So all with one hand. V'ilu b'maisi yadeim shel tzadikim, but when tzadikim created something on this world, Ksiv, it says, M'choyin l'shivtecha pa'alta Hashem, Hashem prepared a place of foundation, Mikdash Hashem konenu yodecha. Your hands, in the plural, created that foundation. So when the tzaddikim, meaning the tzaddikim, the gedolim, created the Beis HaMikdash, the tzaddikim built the Beis HaMikdash, for that, Hashem was involved with two hands. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with tzaddikim more than even for his own work. So Heisha Bavli Echad. So one Bavli said, Rav Chiya Shemayin, Rav Chiya happens to be the one who said this. But what do you mean? So you're telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never uses two hands? It says, V'yabeshes Yodov Yotru, and the dry land Hashem's hands created. So we see that it is talking about in the plural, and it has two hands. So the Gemara actually says, Yodoy Ksit. Now we pronounce it Yodov, which would mean plural, but it's actually written, the way it's written in the Torah, is with Yodoy is one hand. Oh, the Gemara says, Vaksiv Yitzroy, that they created, they is plural. So it sounds like, again, we're talking about two hands. So Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Yitzroy, the plural of the creation, is referring to Etzba Oysov, is referring to his fingers. So his fingers were involved with the creation. Like we say in the Haggadah, right? In the Haggadah, we talk about the Makas of Mitzrayim. We talk about one finger. We talk about five fingers, right? We talk about the fingers or 10 fingers. Each one is its own creation. Kedachsiv, ki era shamecho, maisa etzba oisecho. That the maisa of what your hands, your fingers created, yareach the koychovim asher kananto. That with the moon and the stars that Hashem placed, that Hashem put in place. So we see that once again, and that's referring to the creation of the world. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he did it with his fingers. But bottom line is, he did it with one hand, with multiple fingers. So we still have the proof that Maisa Tzadikim, Hashem's involvement in Maisa Tzadikim is even greater. He uses two hands. But the Gemara asks, Maisa Aleshu, a contradiction. It says, Shemayim Misaprin Kvoid Kel, that the Shemayim is going to tell us about Hashem. Umaisa Yodo Magid Harakia, and the things that his hands created are told by the Shemayim. So once again, we're talking about Hashem's creation, and it says Yadav, his two hands. So we see that Hashem does have two hands involved in his creation. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a contradiction. Hachi ka'amar. Ma'isi yedei hem shel tzadikin. The reason why it's plural is because once again it's referring to the tzadikim's involvement, that what the tzadikim do will be able to be told, mi magid, who tells us that the tzadikim are doing good stuff? Harakia, the sky, the rakia tells us that ma'inihu mater, it's the rain. It is a creation of Hashem that tells us, but the reason why it's two-handed, the reason why it involves two hands is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it with one hand, but is giving us the sign with two hands. His hands now, because it's the Maisa Tzadikim that we're referring to, that are told by the Rakia. So the Yadav, the plural of the Rakia, is referring to the Maisa Yadayim of the Tzadikim. The Gemara, another drasha from, as I said, we're talking about different things that Bar Kafra said, so this is another drasha. Darsh Bar Kafra, Mai Dechsev, why does the Pasuk say, the yesed tia lecha al oznecha, oznecha, that you should have a spike or a shovel with your weapons. Okay, now this is referring to, actually, if you want to know the context of the pasuk over here, it's talking about when you go to war, one of the weapons, one of the things that you should bring with you is a shovel, and you should use that shovel to cover up, you know, when you go to the bathroom. And that's what so that's part of your weapons. However, we're going to darshan over here. Al tikri azanecha, don't read it as your weapons. Ela al oiznecha, rather on your ears. Now, what is it referring to that you should have a yesed, a peg, or a spike on your ears? If a person hears something that's inappropriate, that he's not supposed to hear. Now on the top of Heyam Abeis. Yaniach etzvoyav be'oznov. You should put your fingers in your ear to muffle what the person is saying so that you shouldn't chas v'shalom hear the inappropriate things. Okay, now the Gemara is bringing a riot to this. Behind the Amir Rabbi Elazar, this is what Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar also taught us, Bifnei ma etzbois of shalodim doimis, you say dois. Why are each of your fingers shaped like its own pointer. Spike, its own pointer, its own peg? So the first thing Gemara says, I don't understand the question. My taima, what do you mean? Why is each one its own thing? We know there's a different reason. Ilem mishum de mechalkin. If your question is why are they shaped the way the long spike shape is because each one does it has its own purpose, we know what that purpose is, which is the armor mark, because we learned like this. Zuzeres, the pinky is called the Zeres. The way Rashi learns is that the Zeres is the way they used to is to measure the choshen. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that it's the Zeres is used to take off the kmitza also. But Fine. That's the zeres. That's the pinky. Zukmitza. Then the next finger from the bottom is the kmitza, because that's the first finger that's used to scoop up the kmitza, and you need that's the most powerful finger in that process to use up the kmitza. Zuama. The longest finger is the ama, because that's how they used to measure. What Rashi interestingly says, Rashi says that they should measure from that finger to your elbow is the size of an ama in the building of the Beis Hamikdash and the Kelim. Zu etzba, the finger, the pointer, is referring to the finger that they used to sprinkle the dam on the Mizbeach. So we need it to be a separate finger so that it could sprinkle. And zu goydol, and then you have the thumb, which is the one, again, Rashi learns over here also, is the thumb to wipe off the kmitza on the top so that you're doing the entire kmitza with your right hand. But again, you need an independent finger in order to be able to do that. So we see that each finger has its own, serves its own chashuv and purpose. So that could not be the question of why it's shaped like that, because each one has to serve its own purpose. So the question that what he meant to ask was, and this is the question that we're getting at over here, is why are they shaped at the end like a spike? Why are they curved the way they're curved at the end? And the answer is what we just darshened. Shem yishma adam davar sheino hogoin, because if you hear something that's inappropriate, yaniach etzba oisa ba'oznov, you should put your fingers into your ear. Okay, and therefore, again, muffle the sound so you don't hear what you're not supposed to hear. And by the way, this doesn't only refer to Lashon Hara. Some of the Mefarshim say this is referring to music and that you shouldn't hear and things like that, that you should block your ears. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel learned this far also, Mepnei Ma Oizein Kulay Kasha. Why is the ear of a more stiffer material? Ba'alya Raka, and the ear lobe is a soft, flexible material. Shem yishma adam davar sheino hogoy, that if you hear something that you're not supposed to hear, yokef alya l'toicha, you should fold the earlobe into the ear to block out the sound. Yeah, it works. It works pretty well, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the ear in that manner.
So it's for the earrings.
It's for the ear. Okay. All right. So that's one drasha. Now, all right, and let's just finish off with this point. Tana Rabbanon. We also learned as follows: Al Yashmiya Adam LaOznov Dvarim Betalim. A person should not let be heard to his ears things that are irrelevant. Mipnei Shehein Nichvois Tchila LeEvarim, because the earlobe is the first thing that gets singed before anything else. So it's the easiest to get burnt. So if a person's going to go to Gehenna, if he has things that are inappropriate, the earlobes are the first thing to get burnt. So you have to be super careful about what goes. You have to be overprotective of the ears of what you hear. Okay, that takes us to the end of that sugya. Now we're going to get back into a very famous ksubas sugya. All right. So now, Iboyelahu, the Gemara is about to ask, what happens on Friday night? As Rashi says, Rashi points out, what's the question? I thought we just said, we had a brisa before on Gimel Amabez, or Dalet Amabez, that said, Benkach Ubenkach, Lo Yivo, Erev Shabbos. The first time is not allowed to be Friday night. So what exactly is the question over here? So the Rashi says two explanations. Either he didn't know the brisa, or he argues on the brisa. But the point is, don't get confused by the brisa that we learned earlier. This is going to be a more specific question. So Yibayilim, Ma Livo Betchila B'Shabbos. Why is it permissible for a chassan and a kala to have the first time be on Shabbos itself? Now, what's the issue over here? The issue is, well, it's just a physical issue. Mm-hmm. Do we say dam mifkat pakid? Do we say that the dam that is gonna come out from the first bia, is that in its own separate packet? And therefore, the opening of that packet on Shabbos is not really a chabur, is not doing anything usur. Well, at least the poshup shot is that it's not doing anything usur. Oy chabure michbar, or is it the dam? Or is the dam ingrained in part of the body? And therefore, the dam that comes out is going to be seeping from the body itself. It's not considered separate. And therefore, it's like any other chabur. It's like pulling dam out of the finger. It's pulling dam out of any other part of the body. And therefore, it's going to be usur. Okay, so again, the simple reading of the Gemara is, do we look at the dam that's going to come out from this bia as its own, in its own separate package, and therefore you're just opening it up and letting it flow? Or is it already, is it part of the vessel inside? Is it attached in a way that's considered ingrained into the rest of the body, and therefore it's a chabura, it's pulling it out of like damaging any other part of the body? So the Gemara now continues. It says, "V'im timtzolayim adam ifka pocket l'dam." No, so dam ifka pocket. So do, if we want to say, okay, no, it's really, it's a separate thing, so that in and of itself is not a problem. Mm-hmm. But then it depends on, because to get the dam out, you have to open it. So then l'dam hu tzarech v'shari. So then the point is just to get the dam. I don't really care about the packet itself. I'm just trying to remove the dam so that I can get to the next step. Or maybe it's not the dam, the release of the dam that I'm interested in. It's the actual opening up of the interference of the block. So I'm opening up the block. Again, I'm trying to keep it more general. So I'm opening it up, and that Pesach is also like any other thing. You cannot let it create a Pesach. You cannot let it build. It's a binyan. Even on a person, by the way, there are other Gemaras in Masechta Shabbos that talk about the fact that a binyan in a person is considered binyan, and it's Osir. So opening up that Pesach is also opening something up and should be Osir.
It's a binyan.
Okay, so let's go on the side that, no, he just wants to remove the dam itself, that's the problem. So therefore it's mutter. Upesach memelo ka'asi, and the way to get rid of it is to open it up just so that the opening is there, but the purpose, it's the dam itself that's really blocking. So once I get rid of the dam, I'm good to go. So now you need to know a different issue. Halacha k'Reb Shimon, d'amar davashayna miskaven mutter. Do we pass it like Reb Shimon that says, okay, everybody agrees that it does create a Pesach, but I'm not really focused on the Pesach. I don't really care about the Pesach. So it's a davashayna miskaven. Now in Hilchos Shabbos, whenever you do something and there's a secondary thing that happens, I don't care about. Reb Shimon holds its mutter because I don't care about that. So it's not by Hilchos Shabbos, you need a malachas machshabbos. You need something that it's something important. And if it's just secondary, I don't care about it. Reb Shimon says it's mutter. Oy halacha k'Reb Yehuda, or maybe actually in general we paskin like Reb Yehuda, d'amar davar she'enu miskaven osur, who has a general rule that no, if something is definitely going to happen, if something, even though it's secondary, but if it's going to happen, even if the shalat ain't a miskaven, it's still usher because that is a secondary outcome. So I should expect that to happen. It should be usher. Now Rashi does point out that it is not a psik ratio, because a psik ratio means that it's definitely automatically going to happen. Because if it was a psik ratio, then we all agree that it's usher. If it's not, if it's guaranteed, that's the best way to put it. If it's guaranteed to happen, then you can't talk about a davar she'enu miskaven. I can't say I didn't realize. I didn't know it was going to happen. It has to happen. And so over here, you have to say that it's not guaranteed to happen, because it is possible, as the Gemara later will discuss, it is possible to have a bia and not open up the Pesach at all. It is possible to do it. So therefore, it's not a psik ratio. Okay, so then you have, again, so you can go either way over here. Do we care about a davar she'enu miskaven? Do we care about the secondary thing or not? Reb Shimon says, no, we don't care. It's okay. And Reb Yehuda says, no, it's a problem. Now, even in Rabbi Yehuda that says davar she'enu miskaven is a problem, because you now know that you're opening up a Pesach, mekalkulu etzel haPesach or misakenu etzel haPesach. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Are you trying to? Is the fact that there's a Pesach now considered a tikkun? You fixed the Pesach, and fixing the Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a problem. Or is it mekalkul, which is the first way? The first way, mekalkul, is even Rabbi Yehuda that says davar she'enu miskaven is osur, but the secondary thing has to be for a good thing, has to be for an advantage. If the secondary thing ends up being detrimental and bad, then that's not osur. So the same thing is going to be over here also. If it's detrimental, if it has a downside to it, then being that it's davar she'enu miskaven and I don't care about it, so then it's going to be mutter. So again, you can go backwards, back and forth either way. So therefore, we don't, right, this, at this point, we leave this as an open question. Now the Gemara has a whole new approach. Because till now we've been saying that it was, we picked that it was Mifkat Pocket. We picked the fact that it was really its own little piece, and it's not a chabur, it's not awesome. However, Ikada Amri, there's a whole other version that says like this. So now let's go the other way. Let's say, no, really, really physically this is considered a chabura. It's considered part of it, part of the body itself, and it's chabura when you open it up. Now, the question is, you can look at it two ways also. Ladam utzarech ba'asr. Once again, it's a chabura only if you're trying to get the dam and you're pulling out the dam, which is going to be asr. Oidimu lahanos atmai utzarech v'shari. Or maybe, again, it's a davar she'ani miskaven. I'm not really trying to do the chabura part. I'm doing the bia. That's what I care about. I'm doing for the hano. And the fact that this happens to happen on the side, that's not really what I'm focused on, so therefore I shouldn't have to worry about it. The fact that the chabura is sort of mamela, it's a secondary thing. It shouldn't be osir. But the Gemara says, one second, even if you're right, but even on the tzad that it's, he's doing it for his hano, so therefore it shouldn't, I don't care about the chabura, the dam mamela ka'asi, and the dam only comes out secondary, then again, you're back to the same question. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? See, here the Gemara is looking for the chumra. Do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that says, davar she'ani miskaven is osir? So then it would be osir. Oy halacha k'Reb Shimon. Or do we pass like Reb Shimon says, davar she'ani miskaven is mutter? So again, even if it's secondary, do I care that is it osir or mutter as a secondary thing? V'im timtzo leimer halacha k'Reb Yehuda. And even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that secondary is a problem, once again, you get back to the issue. Makalka b'chabura and masakim b'chabura. Same thing we said before. Is this considered a fix or a break? Because if it's a break, even chabura itself is only usher if you're accomplishing something good. If you're accomplishing something bad, it's not going to be bad. It's not going to be a problem. In other words, according in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, in Rabbi Yehuda himself that says the davar she'ani miskaven is usher, the davar she'ani miskaven, the secondary thing has to be a positive. If the secondary thing is a positive, then it's usher. But now the Gemara adds one more layer. And even if you want to say no, it's a bad thing, it's a negative. It is the chabura. I'm not trying for it, but and it is makalkal, it's bad, it's negative. However, there is a special, it's an interesting side. In makalkal itself by chabura, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that says it's negative, so I don't care? Oh, now on the last line on top of Vav Amud Aleph, oh, halacha k'Reb Shimon, or do we paskin like Reb Shimon specifically in this context? In the context of a chabura on Shabbos, Reb Shimon happens to hold that even if it's mekalkel, it's still osur. In other words, if I take Reb Shimon Shito and I scratch my hand, okay, I scratch my hand and I draw blood on Shabbos. Now, that's obviously a detriment. That's a negative. Why am I scratching my hand? I don't want blood on my hand on Shabbos. But according to Reb Shimon, even though it's a negative, that is the definition of a chabura, it's going to be osur. Reb Shimon holds chaburas on Shabbos are osur, regardless of whether it's a positive or negative. So Reb Yehuda Shito would have been osur because it's a davar she'ani miskaven, that I'm not trying for it. So in Reb Yehuda, since I'm not trying for it, if it turns out to be a negative, then I don't care. Because I'm not trying for it, and it's a negative, I don't care. But if you hold like Reb Shimon about how to define a chabura is by definition, regardless of whether it's good or bad, then that becomes a chabura. Everybody agrees that chabura is asur. So you have to kind of retract, you have to kind of step away for a second, because what gets complicated over here is, you have two machlekes, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. So the question is, how do we really come out over here? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says the enim davar she'ani miskaven is osur. So in order to make it osur, you have to do a combination of two different shitas. You have to have Rabbi Yehuda shita that says davar she'ani miskaven is osur, and then you have to hold like Rabbi Shimon shita that says the chabura is osur even by kilkul.
So how can you combine?